jovial cursive script said more about the nurse who wrote it than the patient in the bed. The jolly writing didn't say that Olivia Messina was dying. Cables and tubes went into veins and came out of cannulas. A machine beeped. A drip hung from a stand. A small rectangular bag poked out of the sheets from halfway down the side of the bed, its contents the same sepia shade as Olivia's freckles. Her husband Daniel tried not to look at the bag. He didn't like to think about how it was attached to his wife with a catheter. He didn't like to think about how dehydrated she was. The bag revealed too much. That time might be running out. Daniel didn't want to consider that. Not when he was working so hard to find a solution. A Glaswegian nurse called Fraser, a stout man with grey eyebrows and a dour charm, wearing a white tunic and a weathered smile, pushed his trolley full of pills and potions onto the ward. The squeak of four small wheels under the weight of remedies and responsibility announced his arrival. The cart creaked rhythmically as Fraser pushed it from its back end, like an upright piano he didn't mind bumping. Bottles, scales, notebooks and clipboards hung from the trolley's ledges and edges, recording the inventory of his medicinal comings and goings. He gave Daniel and Olivia a nod as he passed her bed, noting the newspaper on Daniel's lap.
"Evening, Squire," Fraser said. "Don't read me that match report, will ya? I can't re-leather."
"Evening, Fraser," Daniel nodded back, while the crumpled sports section fell in a whisper to the floor.
"Shall I read you the Liverpool one instead? Mane and Firmino? Two beauties."
"Get out of here," Fraser said as he rolled his eyes. Of all the consultants, nurses, radiographers and carers the family had met in the past hideous year, Daniel liked this apothecary the best. He wasn't quite sure why. They had come across some amazing medics along the journey from Ibiza to Addenbrookes via Queen Square in London. But Fraser had a certain no-nonsense wit about him, an honesty to his compassion. He didn't cock his head to one side when he asked Olivia how she was. He looked her straight in the eye with the acerbic sparkle of his. He had pathos and patience and talked to Olivia as a woman, not a cancer patient. His broad shoulders looked like they could weather anything for the Messina-Blicher family, that he would dig out his old boxing gloves and fight the fight for them, if only he could. Fraser was a challenge to comprehend, but when Daniel could translate his thick Glaswegian tones and keep up with the fast and industrious pace at which he spoke, both men would come alive in conversation about politics, Brexit and sport. Fraser loved that Daniel knew as much about Scottish football as he, and he liked to jibe him for being one of those southern Liverpool fans.
"I was born in the shadows of Firhill Stadium, you know," Fraser told Daniel about his beloved Partick Thistle.
"I supported Liverpool through thick and thin," Daniel would counter, "not just the 80s.
"Ah, go on yourself," Fraser would reply with a ruffian smirk.
Fraser was solid, reliable, always dishing out pills at regular intervals, and the squeaking of his wheels brought respite and cheer from the turgid beeping of machines.
"I'll be back to see you in a bit, Botticelli," Fraser said to Olivia with a wry smile.
She closed her eyes. He had nicknames for all the patients: Portland Bill, Posh Spice, Agatha Christie, the Don. He called Olivia Botticelli because her Renaissance red hair reminded him of an Italian masterpiece.
"Just going to see the diva over there," he said, as he clicked his pen and tucked it into his tunic pocket.
Daniel picked the sports pages up from the floor, and Fraser shook his head.
"Should never have been a goal,"
he muttered under his breath, as he unlocked the brake and continued to the woman at the end of the ward with brown skin, high cheekbones, and a black and gold turban. Daniel waved languidly as Fraser dished out his pillules and potions to the woman with one breast. Olivia turned her head.